All right. We're in lesson 7 this morning on the New Age movement. Let's begin, though, as usual, with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful sun and the creation that you've made. Your Father, as we look at it, we know that you are the God of the universe that has great wisdom and intelligence, holiness. As we can see your fingerprint upon your world, dear Father, we understand that this world is your creation, that we, through your holy word, are able to gain understanding about who you are and what you desire for your creation. We're saddened, dear Father, as we have studied this week, to learn of those that believe that the creation is God, that man is God. We know, dear Father, that this is not true. We can see, dear Father, that from the very fact that we are temporary, that we are not possessing the attributes of immortality and deity. And dear Father, we pray for those that are ensnared by false religion, that have been giving their minds, their heart, their souls to these teachings that lead them further and further away from you. We pray, dear Father, that some may be snatched from Satan's snare and that they might find the eternal redemption promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to the whole world that would obey the gospel and that would remain faithful until death. And so we pray, dear Father, a prayer for them. We do pray that you'll be with us, dear Father, and that you'll keep us in your care, keep us in your word, and help us, dear Father, to live lives that are guided by it, wherever your word will take us, even if it is difficult and a painful road, that you'll give us the courage, dear Father, to maintain our sincerity and fidelity according to your ways. We now pray, dear Father, your blessing on this study and those that are meeting in the respective children's classrooms. Be with them all, dear Father, as we endeavor to know your will better. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Like I said, Lesson 7 on the New Age movement is our study this morning. If you read it this past week, you know, you're probably a little stunned, I guess you might say, by just the various things. I mean, you might have thought Hinduism was strange, you know. This is certainly in that same vein as well. And maybe you've been like me, where you look around in the world and you say, it's amazing how many people are lost. Surely, how can so many people be lost? And then you read things like this and the various weeks that we've had so far in these false religions, and you realize, I see how. They're given to such vain philosophies and the deception of Satan. It is so sad. Well, the New Age movement, of course, is it has this phrase "new" in it. It's really as old as the garden when you think about it. In Genesis chapter 3, even in the first six verses of Genesis chapter 3, you see attributes, principles that are found in the New Age movement. When Satan came to mankind, verse 1 of Genesis 3 says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So we see in these six verses here that Satan seeks to break down man's trust in God's word. God's word can't be trusted. He starts there. In verse 4, man doesn't have to die. Man continues to live. Verse 5, he can be like God. You'll be like God, Satan says, knowing good and evil. In verse 6, that man needs hidden knowledge to be one of God, to be God. And so here you see these very principles and elements that are alive and well in the New Age movement there all the way back in the garden. Before we dive in, anyone have initial thoughts or comments from their study?
Not so much from studying this, but just from life in general. I mean, you can kind of remember back in the 80s, when 80s and 90s, when this stuff really started becoming prevalent. People, I remember in Texas growing up, there was a tremendous amount of New Age, conservative New Age movements. Almost all of the religious organizations out there were confronted with it because it was a kind of a scary idealistic kind of thing. But through the years working, I've had several clients that profess to be New Age members. They're and we're talking about really well-to-do, very influential people, and that are politically involved. And these aren't just some weird people out there on the fringe that believe this whole idea, and they all believe it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's one particular religion, but the idea of the karma and the balance and the, a lot of that, of course, he mentions it here, comes from those old Hindu and Buddhist religions, but they've taken those things, I guess you might say, hijacked those religions and then taken them and made it kind of into their own form. But they don't mind euthanasia. They don't have any problem with abortion, a lot of them, because they say, because they believe in reincarnation and they believe in all these different things, and so they see it all as a balance, and all these things can just ebb and tide, flow and move, and it all works itself out one way or the other, and it's a very free religion as far as your indebtedness to it. There's no nobody being judgmental about what you believe and how you believe, and there's nobody looking over your shoulder trying to keep you aligned with a particular faith. It's kind of, you go and do and seek your own religion how you want it.
Yep. Well, Pax was commenting that it's a very free religion, and that certainly is the case as we read this chapter. Anybody else? Yes, sister. Right. They like to say that they believe that Jesus was a manifestation of divinity, but that his teachings couldn't be trusted, and that they shouldn't be followed to the T. Sister. Right.
And I think we have fallen short. I've been looking at some books that were written by Christian men,
Right, right. Absolutely.
As I study these, and I say, I think, I believe.
Right, we need to have
the...
We need to have the verse for it. You're right. You're right. And that's one of these things is almost an exercise for us as well. As we read through this and we're writing down references, what would the Bible say about these things? And so all these classes are to help us to do that. All right. So what is the New Age movement? Define it. Or you might read the definition that was given here. Yes.
You can affect your own world. You have complete power over your own world. So, like with relation to maybe health, your health and your and benefits your health, you can just think away problems and distress and sickness and disease. And I don't know if they all take it to that extent, far that extent, but there is definitely. I mean, of course, the Christian Science and the different ones like that are in that same kind of a mindset that they just have complete power and control over themselves, and if they do something good, then it offsets something bad that'll happen, and that's the idea that karma. They do something bad, then you know they have to go do something good to make retribution to keep their own balance in their own life.
Right. You are your own God. You create your own reality. Is kind of the idea. You'll notice that third paragraph on the second column says the New Age movement is like a sponge. And the way it collects different ideas from different religions, cultures, and philosophies, and tries to bring those different approaches to life into one united whole. The name New Age, that first paragraph on that column says there's a growing consensus that the modern world is on the brink of an extraordinary and that a great transformation awaits us. So this is a new age, is the idea. And it connects to this Aquarius age or something to that effect, which has to do with astrology. And so this astrology even ties in with the New Age movement, that there's going to be this new age and awakening of man, and that he'll realize that he is his own reality, he is his own God, there is no good, there is no evil. And so just, like I said, very, very strange stuff to us. One said that Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, and Gnosticism and witchcraft are all kind of intertwined into this religion. Now, we've studied Buddhism and Hinduism. Taoism is a Chinese religion that, again, all is relative and all is changing, is the main thrust of that religion. Gnosticism, which even goes back to New Testament times when John was fighting against Gnosticism. Gnosis is the Greek word for knowledge. It has to do with acquiring strange, secret knowledge that will gain one salvation. And that is very alive and well in this New Age movement and witchcraft as well. Some even said that included in this is the belief of UFOs and alien intelligence, psychokinesis, which is where you bend objects with your mind. So again, you're creating your own reality. And this is very interesting to me. In regards to Americans, it said that 66% of Americans believe they've had a psychic experience. And 42% of Americans believe they've been in contact with someone who had died. And so spiritism as well. And 67% of Americans read the astrology columns. And so these are some pretty high numbers. And you see how a movement like this would be invited into an environment and a culture that is practicing such things. And 30 million Americans believe in reincarnation. So all these things find a home in the New Age movement. You'll notice on page 54 some of the symbols, and I know we've seen some of these before on the back of people's cars, the coexist sign especially. You see all those different symbols from different religions, and some of these kind of occult type symbols. You see that and you will understand that someone is this a New Age follower. All right, so he starts next to talk about the various aspects of society that it hits. Before we look at that, let's look at, yes, Pax.
On that, the idea of it pulling from so many different religions, I think a lot of that is probably grassroots, maybe because of people coming from other religions, and they bring with them their own ideas, and the problem is that they don't have any central part of belief. They have a lot of philosophers who have written books about it, but they encourage you to use your own judgment and your own background and whatever. And so if I'm allowed to believe this and then bring in what I know, what I grew up with, what my parents taught me, and I use that as my benchmark, and then I'm allowed to be included in this group, well, then I'm going to see things from my perspective, and then I'm going to be joined together with this other group of people and their religion, and they're all going to bring in these different things, and so before long, it just becomes a big wash of belief and sharing beliefs and misunderstandings, and that's why they pull, I think, so much from. That's why two or three of the people I'm thinking about that have been clients of mine in the past, I mean, they came out of very staunch religious practice when they grew up, but over the years they've become a totally different person, and they cling to what they know from their background, but they for whatever reason they've removed themselves from that. But their basis of morality comes from where they grew up, but they act it out in a different way now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their idea is that all religions essentially are one. So one can bring their previous baggage and still be a part of all of this. So what I want to do is look at page 58, where it talks about their major beliefs about God and humanity, because I think it's important to understand this, and then you understand how it affects different aspects of our society. So they believe that fundamentally everything is divine. And so there's these two concepts, one called monism and the other one pantheism. Monism is the belief that God is one in the sense of being a oneness without duality and differentiation. Essentially, one is all and all is one. One author described it as if you look at a rock in a field, you might see them as two distinct things, whereas they'd see the rock is the field and the field is the rock. Everything is one, is the idea. It all is this one force or energy. It says at the end of that, a cosmic mind or consciousness or a universal self. So everything is one. We're all one. Everything is like, so that's monism. And then the second term that describes the New Age concept is pantheism. And pantheism is the belief that all is God and all is divine. So everything is one and everything is God. So this is the fundamental root belief that ties New Agers together. Now, of course, the Bible says something quite different. Look at Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? So God is not a man. And man is not God. It's not pantheism or monism at all. In Genesis chapter 1, you see God is distinct from creation. He's the creator. We are the created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so we are distinct. God is His own person and personality. God loves, God feels, God decides, and God knows. And so He is His own, as we are also our own as well. We are just not God. We are not God. So when you understand that concept, then you understand where they're going with humanity. The next paragraph says, humanity, it says, this is one of the seductive claims of the New Age movement, we're not only perfect, but we are in fact gods. Philosopher New Age precursor L.L. White is forthright. He says, it has long been held that whoever denies the transcendent God asserts his own divinity. In dropping God, man recovers himself. It is time that God be put in his place, that is, in man, and no nonsense about it. So there you have it. There you have it. That's their concept. So now you'll understand why back here in 54, 55, 56, 57, how these various things begin to trickle into society, whether it be healthcare, psychology, ethics, or even politics. Brother Ross.
Just small things, as you say, can get the better of us, because we'll have comedians say that I talk to the big man upstairs, and the next thing you know, members of the church say, I talk to the big man upstairs. What big man? Mm-hmm. Oh, I said, he's not a man. And that's not an appropriate way to address God, but when we become lax and let that go, then we'll let the next thing go, and the next thing you know, we look just like those out in the world. But we got to guard against that, and we as members of the church should be talking about, we pray to the big man upstairs. That's out of bounds. That's not acceptable in the sight of God.
Right, right. Then the Old Testament, they talked about the language of Ashdod, where the Israelites were speaking as such as their neighbors, and that was not an acceptable thing. Anybody else? But very, very true, Brother Ross. You're right. So we have to understand how our world is influenced by these various religions, and make sure then we're not then influenced by our world to make the same mistakes as well. Any of these in particular, psychology, ethics, politics, jump out to you that you wanted to make some comments? If not, because what I'm going to do is go to this comparison chart on page 57 and talk about that for a little bit. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
They get in the kid, and you may not even know about it. You know, right in school. They took God out of school and put all this other stuff. This ain't not discrimination to me. They're discriminating against Christianity and God, but everything else goes.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, they'll kick they're selective in which religions they kick out, right? And allow certain ones in. And so we're going to talk about this comparison here. And it's interesting when you think about it, the way in which they, how would you say, take aspects that happen to our experiences, our mindset, and our bodies, and then put their own spin on it. Instead of realizing, like the Bible tells us, that we're created by an infinite, all-knowing, and all-wise God who blessed us with these bodies that are made in His image, and so therefore it's why it might experience some of these things or benefit from certain things such as like meditation. God's Word tells us to meditate on these things. So there's a blessing and benefit for these things. They take their own spin on it and say that means that you're your own God, or you create your own reality. And so we have to be able to show them that there is a distinction and difference from what the Word of God teaches from what it is that they believe. So the first one there is, you see that God is impersonal, like a force. They describe it more as an it, not a he. But of course, the Bible declares that God is personal, moral, holy, and is distinct from His creation. We read Genesis 1:1 to make that point, but let's look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Page 57, the comparison chart. So, Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." So he's speaking about the sky and the stars and those things that are made by God, and he says that it declares the handiwork of God. However, New Agers would say you look at the stars and you read the alignment of them, and then you know what it is going to happen for your day. Astrology. And we're going to talk more about astrology as we get later on in our study. So God had designed the world and the universe to be able to declare His wonderful handiwork and glory. That He is a good and wise and moral God. Brother Ross.
If we are studying our Bibles as we should be, then most of these things are just elementary.
That's right.
Able to take them apart like that, you know, and even to the meditation, David says God was his meditation all day long, or the Word is the meditation all day long. These are the things that we should be focused on. First and foremost, and even if we do a meditation, what a perfect time to think about God. What a perfect time to think about His Word. And that's what I use meditation for. But I had heard hints of it was some type of religion, and sure enough, we get into that type of stuff. But it shouldn't affect children of God if they've been studying the Bible, because they should be able to teach what's right in the Bible.
That's right. I remember, Bobby Holmes. I think it was Bobby Holmes had mentioned in his preaching in India that the brethren there, especially those that have been converted, are used to lives of meditation. And you see why, because some of their background. However, he says they'll read the Word of God for 1 hour and then meditate on what they read for the next hour. And so God has created the benefit of these particular practices to be used to His glory. Satan comes along and tries to twist it. He does that with everything. Whether it's marriage, again, that God had created the home to be a blessing and to be, that's the area in which the relations would take place between husband and wife. Satan comes along and says, no, you can experience the relations outside of that in different ways with different people or different sexes. So he's very skilled at taking something God has made and putting His spin on it.
And truly, if we meditate upon the Word of God, His Word, God will make it to where we can figure out something that's been hard for us to know. Mm-hmm. We can get deeper in the Word because we are dissecting it. We are taking it apart. So when we come into a Bible class, we know what we're talking about because we've got our hands dirty, so to speak. We've stayed in that all week long.
Right.
And there's so many benefits from that.
Right. Very good. So the next one on that chart is humanity is, New Age movement says divine, but God's Word says that no, we are made in His image. And so where is a similitude, a similarity, but God is the only one that is divine. Genesis 2, 1 and 2, of course, you can write down there to show how we're created by God, and both physical and spiritual. God breathed into man the breath of life and became a living soul. The New Age movement, salvation is just gaining this new perspective and understanding that we're on the brink of a new age. The Bible, of course, is much different, that we're justified by faith and obedience to Christ Jesus, and that God graciously forgives us of our sins when we're buried in baptism. And of course, those that after being baptized go back into sin, they must repent and pray. And that's Acts the 8th chapter. I wrote down Romans chapters 1 through 3 there, where Paul spends time talking about the Gentiles being involved in idolatry and sin. And then chapter 2, the Jews being involved in sin themselves. And then he gets to chapter 3, where Jew and Gentile are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. And so that's the way God sought to redeem man from his sins, and salvation would be obtained. And then the last one there, New Age movement, life after death is spiritual progression for the purpose of attaining enlightenment. And so that's another core of their belief, reincarnation. You get to come back and do it all over again. Hinduism, here's the difference. Hinduism believes that you're trying to escape the cycle of reincarnation, whereas New Age movement says, no, that continues, because it's in this big pool of energy and this big pool of oneness, and you just get recycled once again and again. But the Bible, of course, says that we'll spend eternity either in heaven or hell. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed man once to die, and then the judgment. So you get one crack at it, essentially. One chance. Satan would try to create a doctrine and tell you, no, you get many chances. Don't worry about how you do with this chance. Yes, Sister Nancy. Uh-huh. It was to point us to that, wasn't it? That's right. And the infinite, all-wise God knew that His creation could do that.
Thanks so much for reading, right?
Yes.
I don't think anybody cares what I type, but when it's written there,
yeah. Yep. It's a good verse. Good. It's a whole 19th Psalm is a great psalm, where it talks about that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's what He's supposed to see. You see the heavens declaring His handiwork, and it points us to look for His law, to search for His law that would convert the soul. That's right. Pax.
It seems to me that they have a pretty good handle on what divinity is, as far as what our perception of what God is as divine and all-knowing and all-powerful and all, transcending time and those kind of things, except that they misplace God and displace Him with us, with a human individual. And then they follow it through naturally, because all of us in their minds are divine individuals, divine beings, part of this greater energy, well then they have to lead themselves to the conclusions of salvation being just this recirculation, because where does divine nature go? It never stops existing. They believe the same thing we believe about our God, the one true God, having always been and always being. So, except they insert us in that. So then they, we know we physically die, so we must just come back, So they just see it as that's how it's extended. And really, if you could tap into this idea that that there is a God who is what they proclaim an individual to be, and then if He is so great and He has always been and He always is, then who are we to decide what we want to do, what's right or wrong? We have to follow what His thing is instead, because they believe you have to follow your heart, you have to follow all these things because you're God, and you make those judgments, you decide what's right and wrong. And so if you have to follow yourself, and then if you can help them make that jump back to God, then they'll realize you have to follow God.
Right. Like we're saying, their own spin on it, but it goes the wrong way away from the truth. Look at page 59. I might have a few moments to talk about the occult and astrology. But I thought it'd be interesting or important to at least point some of these things out first. On the tips in teaching New Agers, your first thought might be after reading this is how I'm going to run away from people like this because it's quite strange. But there can be hope, and it's in Keenan on some of these things that we talked about where there is some common ground, but to show where they take a divergent path from what is truth. So notice it says acknowledge their search for spirituality, that section right there. Because he begins to show how, like we were saying, that there are these truths that are found in God's Word, and they point us to God if they just refrain from the spin that they want to take on it. So notice it says that there is this search for the sacred taking place in the United States, and part of that is the result of the naturalistic perspective of secular humanism. New Agers want to be enlightened, to come to a better understanding of this universe. Christians too are seeking knowledge, 2 Peter 1, 1-11, to perfect us in this life. Christians too desire to become more like God. You see, we God has asked us. The very word godliness means like God. But we understand that we are not God. There's the distinction, the difference. But we want to be more like Him. And His Word is the knowledge, the key to do that. So, the first bullet point says, focus on the uniqueness of Jesus as God. Point out that New Agers typically revere Jesus as a mere human being who sought Godhood or Christhood. Christians worship Jesus as the eternal God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Verse 3 and 4, excuse me. Why it is that some can't see the reality of who Jesus is when they study and know the New Testament, and why is it they can't understand it? Well, verse 3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Maybe even we might even say the New Age, right? Has blinded, who does not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, that God was trying to display His divine attributes to humankind through Jesus Christ. Now, the God of this age tries to blind man to that reality and that fact. Yes, we want to be like God. Christ is the one that shows us how. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, haven't you? I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The second bullet point is that transformation is needed. Right? They teach transformation. Yeah, we understand that. The Bible makes clear that transformation of humanity is needed and that it's brought about through conversion. That word conversion means literally to turn again. In Romans 12, 1 and 4, there it speaks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. We believe in transformation. Our mind needs to be renewed by the Word of God. That's how it's enlightened. That's how it is renewed. And by God's Word, as we read Psalm 19, 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Inner peace is to be achieved. That's the third bullet point. We believe in inner peace. We want that as well. Show how God wants us to strive to have peace and understanding. Philippians 4, 4 through 10 is a great, great verse there where He tells us to be anxious for nothing. Right? But in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Nancy, you have something?
Jesus Christ, you know, John chapter 1, Jesus is the Word, He came to earth, His flesh, He lived the Word. And when we put that Word in our mouth, then our body will do according to what will feed your mind. But according to this, they're feeding their mind the wrong thing.
Right. And because there's all these different religions, there's no standard. It's just kind of how I feel about it. But here we're showing, here's a standard. You can place your hope and your faith in that.
And the reason we say we can put our hope in Jesus Christ is because Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the Word.
Right.
All bends together.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, yeah, Sister Ross.
We can look at the Old Testament and see why God told his people to stay away from the nations around him. And in our case, we can say the religions around us. We can see influence. We can see what it did to them. And we can see what it's doing to things today.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Sister.
The hardest part about all of these religions is they have no boundaries. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to get someone that has no boundaries to engage themselves in a religion that does, because they're so free.
Yes.
And so it's very hard. It's like they almost close their minds on the very beginning if you're not careful, because you're too tough and I've got it easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, right. Brother Ross?
The Word of God just rings truer and clearer as we study all these lessons. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And the rest of that says a lot more of the same, but you know, people have the ability to understand there is a God and that they need to follow and they need to be obedient. But so many times we're just looking for an easy way out.
Right.
Man, if I can just do what I want in this life and go to heaven on top of that, that's icing on the cake. But as the saying goes, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Have to obey Christ.
That's right. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, God says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." And so this idea of karma, you know, they call it karma, but God taught that what we sow, we also do reap. And that will be made manifest in whatever it is that we do, in our actions and in service to life. And so what we want to show them is that God is the one that's not mocked, okay? That he put the principle in order. And those that will not turn to him for the guidance of the order, well, it's to their own demise. They're going to reap what they've sown.
Everyone that I've known that was a New Ager or that was in a Universalist church or Christian Science church, I think they all overlap a lot, has a tremendous amount of respect for those that live and are fruitful spiritually and centered and grounded and have conviction about what they believe. And it's really odd because they want to be so free in their own beliefs, and yet they really are puzzled at how grounded some people can be. And we have a guy that works for us right now that believes everything we're reading in this book, and yet he has a tremendous amount of respect for our way of life and the things that we do and our religious culture in our family, you know, and our jobs and work and whatever. And he even goes so far as to promote that as a lifestyle of our company to other people when he talks. And, you know, he projects that and says, "Oh, we're really religious." And he means us, not him, but, I mean, that's the way he puts it. What I'm getting at is you have that tool in your back pocket when you're dealing with people of this sort, because they realize that their life is out of balance, ultimately. They're trying to get it in balance, and they're trying to do it on their own. And there's something different about the Christian who has a true basis for belief and conviction and for stability in their life. And I really think that the greatest tool that a Christian has with someone in this type of system is chaotic system, more specifically, is that we have a good example to live it for them, and we can leverage that. And it may or may not work, but it's one of those things that I think you can make all the arguments in the world, but your lifestyle and the balance that you actually are able to achieve, even here and now as a Christian, even with all the things we don't understand why bad things happen, good things happen, we still, the way you deal with it, the way you confront issues of life, and the way you maintain an even keel is important in projecting.
Max makes a good comment there about the life and example that you lead will speak volumes to these people of this principle that we reap what we sow. We live godly, God will be with us, and the way we respond to life will be beneficial to those that watch. I apologize, we ran out of time, didn't get to talk about the occult aspects in astrology. Maybe I can include that on another lesson, because those aspects certainly are very alive and well, or they think that they're talking to the dead and reading the stars and knowing what to do. So all of this is included in this New Age movement. Appreciate your comments, and we'll close our class.
Some books on the art.
Oh.
I didn't read the entire thing because I was Buddhism.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I had done about half of it.
Well, it's
my brain somewhere.
Well, you read that and you leave it somewhere else too. It's strange stuff.
I reached over and when I got here, no Bible. Wonder I had my checkbook because it was on top of my lesson.
It happens to the best of us.